Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Yo! What is up, Buffalo Fanatics? Z-Bot here with you, live on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel on a Wednesday afternoon. And it, of course, can only mean one thing. It is the Smoke Break, powered by BetUS, where the game begins. Receive a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits via the link in the description below. Up to $2,500 using the promo code JOIN125. So glad you're joining me here this afternoon for a little bit of Buffalo Bills news. Brandon Bean putting in the work. On a hump day, apologies for not being with you. Monday was out of town. I'm with you today. More coming later on in the week. I'll talk about that later on in the show. We'll be live with you the rest of the week, and I'm looking forward to joining you not only today, but tomorrow and Friday as well. But let's take care of business today. This just in the news desk. Busy Bean at One Bills Drive. He adds much-needed depth, much-needed personnel. Not even sure you can say depth, much needed personnel, perhaps starting personnel at the safety position. Brandon Bean signs a former Kansas City Chief today on Wednesday, March 20th, as safety Mike Edwards becomes a Buffalo Bill this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining in here on the Smoke Break as we cover some breaking news at One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills, who are in much need of a safety after, of course, the departure of Jordan Poyer, the inevitability of the departure of Micah Hyde. We all knew safety was at the top of the list, still is at the top of the list. And when you look at the draft needs for the Buffalo Bills, safety will still be towards the top, if not at the top, depending on how you view it. But we all knew that with the season, if the season were to be starting today, you walk into it with Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin. That's it. We all knew that moves were going to have to be made at safety. And about a week and a half into the start of free agency, Brandon Bean adds a former rival to the roster. Now, Mike Edwards, he is a Super Bowl magnet. Drafted in 2019 by the Tampa Bay Bucs, he wins a Super Bowl with Tom Brady and the Bucs early on in his career. And then, of course, wins a Super Bowl last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, a game in which he started against the San Francisco 49ers. His best years were, according to PFF, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If we go down to his season grades, his two best years were in 2020 and 2001 with Tampa Bay. A bit of a drop-off here the last couple of seasons, but a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs nonetheless last season. And, of course, when we look at the addition, the first thing we take away from it is had to happen. Brandon Bean has been doing a good job incrementally adding to the needs of this team. We'll talk about it throughout the show here, but obviously addition of wide receiver. We'll talk about Curtis Samuel. I haven't been able to share my thoughts on that yet, but very exciting move in my opinion for these Buffalo Bills. In addition to adding at wide receiver, they also add Casey Tuhill on the defensive edge and re-sign, of course, Teron Johnson to a 3-year extension. So all of these different moves, they're not breaking
the news barrier or the news cycle here. We're not talking breaking news coming across the NFL network desk, these big major moves like we're seeing perhaps some other teams make. Steelers, I don't know what they got going on, adding Russell Wilson, which in itself was, of course, a big move. And then you go on to, of course, add, why am I blanking on the name right now? What, this is the biggest blunder in the history right here. Justin Fields, geez, total brain fart. So we're talking about like big names, of course. Obviously, the Bills aren't going to be in the position to be landing massive names. I thought Curtis Samuel, out of all the names, was about as big as you'll see the Bills land. But the Bills are continuously getting scrutinized, I seem to be finding, throughout this offseason early on here. You know, the Bills are regressing. The Bills aren't getting any better. The Bills are losing a lot of their veteran leadership, a lot of their core, their core of the team. Partially true. You know, you can't lose Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morse, and not feel as though that this team is losing a part of its identity. It certainly is. I mean, of course, the Buffalo Bills, when you lose multiple starters, multiple guys that have been the core of your structure, so to speak, for a long time, it's going to feel different. But I talked about this with Rico last week. Have the Bills really taken a major step back here in free agency? I think the answer is no. The Bills are just taking a different direction. They're going down a different path, a path that they need to go down. And that's moving off of players that were aging out, that were very expensive, and going towards a direction that is going to introduce the new wave. Younger players at key positions. It's going to feel different. But inevitably, I don't think that this team has gotten worse. This free agency, unlike what many people out there seem to want to tell you, they wrap that in, of course, with the whole Stephon Diggs newly rekindled drama. Have you heard, by the way? We'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But I find Brandon Bean to be doing what he does best. We all know that Brandon Bean moves in the shadows. He's a quiet assassin, right? Bean after dark. It was never going to be major move this offseason with the draft, or excuse me, the cap situation the Bills are currently facing. But I find that what Brandon Bean has been doing as of late is exactly what the Bills have needed him to do. And it seems like every other day here into free agency, we are finding Brandon Bean making a small move here, a small move there. And they're starting to add up, and you're starting to see this team kind of take form early on here in the offseason as we head into the draft, where it'll really start to take shape. But in key areas where the Bills needed additions, Brandon Bean seems to be targeting in on those early and often. The biggest remaining factor was safety. No additions had been made outside of re-signing Rapp and, of course, having DeMar Hamlin currently on the roster. This is the first move at safety for Brandon Bean. So here's the Buffalo Bills PR Twitter tweeting out about the one-year contract that Mike Edwards just signed this afternoon with the Buffalo Bills. And there's a bunch of tidbits on here from the PR. I love these things. It's like essentially a media guide, all in one little graphic here. But, well, I'll read a couple of these off the top just to give you a little bit of background as to who Mike Edwards is and who's coming into this Buffalo Bills team. So the first one here, since 2021, Mike Edwards is tied for second in the NFL with four defensive TDs. That's a good one to lead off with. Tied for second in the NFL with four defensive TDs. He's got to be what, behind the dude from the Dallas Cowboys who had what, six of them last year? So we're bringing in a guy who currently, as it stands right now, likes bringing the ball back to the end zone. Also a guy that I just saw via somebody from the Kansas City Chiefs realm of things. Most recently, picked off our good buddy Tua Tagovailoa. Here's a video of Mike Edwards in the wild card game this past season, picking off Tua early on in the first quarter. Now, we know the Bills love picking off Tua in big games. Apparently, so does Mike Edwards. So we know that he'll fit right in. We know Mike Edwards is going to be fitting right in. If he's got a magnet on the ball from Tua Tagovailoa, he will fit right in Buffalo. But you look at what the Bills are currently in need of, and safety was, of course, the biggest need. I think you'd argue right now that, and perhaps wide receiver, obviously various other needs on this team as you look deep into it. But those were the big two, I would say. Now, is Mike Edwards going to be that guy you bring in? It's going to be an earth-shattering move, like I was saying earlier. Of course not. Bigger names, of course, out there. The safety market as it stands right now in the free agency has been awfully slow. I mean, Micah Hyde, for instance, he still is yet to sign with another team. Justin Simmons is still yet to sign with a team. There's big names out there, and it seems that early in this free agency period, safety has not been a priority for a lot of these teams. But we're finding that Brandon Bean has been making moves that seem very cost-effective and perhaps beneficial not only in the short term, but potentially in the long term. This one, of course, feels like more of a short-term fix. When you're losing your two main pieces at the safety position, you're never going to be able to completely throw a Band-Aid over that overnight. We all know that it's going to be next to impossible to replace the tandem that was Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde in Buffalo. Everybody knows that. Brandon Bean said it himself. In fact, Mike Edwards, I believe during his interview when signing with the Bills, said that that's the standard. Via Dan Fates here of 13 Wham, Mike Edwards calls Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde the standard that was set in Buffalo and looks forward to continue it. We all know that that, of course, is true. We know that that was as good as it gets in the league. So I feel like anybody you bring in at the safety position, it's going to feel somewhat underwhelming because you're so used to having Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer back there. It was a safety blanket. It was the safety blanket of all safety blankets, really. You always felt comfortable knowing that those two were in the backfield. You always knew that it really didn't get better than that. But in the back of your mind, especially towards the end of last year, you knew that was coming to an end. And this is the new reality the Buffalo Bills are faced with. I continuously keep talking about how impressed I was with Sean McDermott last season and his ability to take new additions to this team, also unknown guys that were down the totem pole of the depth chart, and really find a way to make this defense still remain towards the top of the league. It was a makeshift defense last year with the in and out interchangeable parts due to the injury bug the Bills caught on the defensive side of things. And Sean McDermott did an incredible job getting the most out of guys that might not have played as well if they were playing for another team. So you hear a name like Mike Edwards, you might not know a whole lot about him. You might look at his PFF grade like I was just showing you, and it might not be the most impressive thing in Kansas City last year, an overall grade of 56.5, right? A drop off from his 2 years in Tampa Bay in 2020 and 2021. But we don't know the capabilities of these guys until they get into this defense with Buffalo. You can look at PFF grades all you want as well, and I take them with a grain of salt. They're a good starting point. They're a good reference point. But at the end of the day, last year, Kansas City was one of the best defenses in the league. If we want to get down to it, the reason the Kansas City Chiefs today are back-to-back Super Bowl champions is because of their defense. Sure, Patrick Mahomes plays a great part in it, but that defense is the one that shut down Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That defense is the one that shut down the Buffalo Bills on the final drive of the game and inevitably sealed it. That defense is the one who made major, major stops at the end of the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers to get it done. And of course, that defense absolutely shut down the Miami Dolphins in the wild card. If it wasn't for a duck of all ducks somehow grabbed by Tyreek Hill on a pop fly from Tua Tagovailoa, they wouldn't have scored a single point in that game. The Chiefs defense from top to bottom last year, not a whole lot of household names outside of McDuffie and Chris Jones. They were about as good as it gets. You have to wonder if Mike Edwards is one of those names in the fold of the 11 guys out on that field that made the Chiefs defense as good as they were. You have to wonder if he was one of those unsung guys that was better than advertised, better than the PFF grade would insinuate, better than, you know, a name value. You think Chris Jones, you think McDuffie, right? You think Legarius Sneed. You might not think outside of that. It happens in Buffalo all the time. How many guys get disrespected on the defensive side of things for Buffalo because there's names that you just go to first? Benford, right? Bernard. For a while, I would say Teron Johnson, who just became the highest paid nickel in the league. There's still plenty of people out there who don't realize Taron Johnson has been one of the best players at his position since he arrived in Buffalo. We all know how it goes. There's guys who dominate the cycle because of their name and they're noteworthy, right? And there's guys who kind of play their role, fit into it, and help contribute to the overall situation. All I know is right now, looking back on last year in these Kansas City Chiefs, that defense is the reason they sit here today, Super Bowl champions in 2023. Mike Edwards, a starter and a part of that. So you bring him in to a Sean McDermott-led defense where I look last year and there were guys that potentially going into the season, less capability than Mike Edwards, who had phenomenal seasons and collectively came together and found a way to make that Buffalo Bills defense as good as it could possibly be in regard to the circumstance. Now, I do feel like safety is still going to be a top priority in this draft. For all we know, it could be first, second round, depending on how the chips fall, depending on what Brandon Bean views the value to be within this draft. The safety market in the draft coming up here, very thin compared to other areas. Wide receiver, as we know, very, very deep. It has been for a while now, very deep in particular this coming season. So it might not be the first round move just based on value. I did a couple of mock drafts last week with Rico, if you joined us, and there wasn't a safety drafted in the entire first round in some of these mock drafts that we did. So it's not like the priority still isn't going to be there. It's just a matter of what the Buffalo Bills are going to do in the draft to address it and where, depending on how Brandon Bean views this draft class at the safety position and the value he puts on individual players coming into the Bills and filling a much needed gap, a major gap left behind by Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Now, this is a start. This is a start. The Bills, like I keep mentioning, they had not done anything at the safety position outside of re-signing Taylor Rapp. They had to do something. And when you look around the current free agency market, like I said earlier, for safeties, a lot of big names, a lot of guys that are going to cost money like Justin Simmons, I just don't feel like that's going to be in the cards. Micah Hyde re-signing doesn't feel like it's going to be in the cards. Just feels like an under-the-radar type move, a one-year contract. We've yet to see the complete details on the money. But I like the move for the need for these Buffalo Bills as it stands right now, and only time will tell how good of a fit Mike Edwards will be. But this is the one benefit that I keep going back to when we talk about Sean McDermott being the head coach, and I feel like it's vastly overlooked. All of the head coaches in the league right now currently getting the most praise are all offensive coaches, and that's for good reason, because a lot of these teams are some of the best in the league, especially the Kansas City Chiefs, who remain at the top of the league with the best offensive mind perhaps we've ever seen. All of the credit continuously goes to these offensive-minded coaches because that's where the bulk of the top teams are. They're led by offensive coaches. I think Sean McDermott is incredibly underrated for what he brings to the team as far as what his expertise is. When it comes to coaching the defensive side of things, I don't think it gets much better in the league than Sean McDermott. And last year, in the most high-pressure situation perhaps he's faced, job potentially on the line, minimal to zero playoff chances at one point, an insanely injured defense, Sean McDermott answered the call and had this defense really threatening some of the top teams in the league with guys that you wouldn't expect to do so. It kind of unraveled in the playoffs when it really unraveled as far as the injuries were concerned. It was just one, two injuries too many. You got to the playoffs. You got to the Kansas City Chiefs game in the divisional. It was just one too many. But throughout the duration of the season, suffering major blows early on, losing Matt Milano, losing Tre'Davious White very early in the year. And then, of course, injuries here, there, and everywhere throughout the year coming in and out, in and out. I was beyond impressed with his ability to do what he is there to do. So when you hear guys like Mike Edwards, not these gigantic names, when you're bringing in guys trying to replace major names, it's not going to feel like the biggest signing in the world. It's not going to feel like it's going to be a dramatic change towards the success for these Buffalo Bills. But that's just how it feels initially. We have no idea. No one thought that about when Taron Johnson first came in. When Taron Johnson picked off Lamar Jackson in the divisional playoffs, what, in 2020? No one knew who the hell Teron Johnson was, right? Last year, no one knew who Terrell Bernard was, Christian Benford. Rasul Douglas's career completely reemerges last year. Nobody wanted him. So we look at this Mike Edwards signing. We don't know a whole hell of a lot about him. We look at the PFF grades. We know it's not the best. We don't know what his best is. He hasn't been coached by Sean McDermott yet. That, to me, is where I get confidence when I see guys come into this team that might be a bit under the radar on the defensive side of the ball. That's what gets me excited. Sean McDermott's ability to work with him, right? Still very young, of course. We go back and look here. He's only got 5 years in this league. 5 years with championship pedigree teams as well. So love the signing, a much needed signing, of course. And we'll see what the overall plan is here. We know Taylor Rapp's got one of those spots locked up. And I really do feel like the draft is where we're going to address that safety position towards the future. But as far as a one-year patch here, it feels like Mike Edwards was a good solution and a nice signing for Brandon Bean on a Wednesday afternoon, bringing him in. So that is the most recent signing. Before that, the most recent re-signing stays in the secondary for these Buffalo Bills. Teron Johnson, 3-year, $31 million extension with these Buffalo Bills. It makes him the highest paid nickel in the NFL. Congrats to Teron Johnson, a guy, like I mentioned, when we first saw him come into this league, you know, didn't know a whole lot about Teron Johnson. And he really flashed onto the scene when he picks off Lamar Jackson, takes it to the house, and solidifies the Bills' victory in the divisional and moves the Bills on to their AFC championship game against the Chiefs. Teron Johnson, ever since then, has truly gotten better and better and better. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy better at his position over the last six seasons than Teron Johnson. And that was proved last year. Once again, a guy that I feel like, when it comes to the overall landscape of the NFL, an underrated player. The Bills seemingly have a lot of those. To me, Matt Milano continues to be the most underrated player in the league when healthy. 100%. There are still people out there, avid NFL fans, who do not realize that Matt Milano is one of the best linebackers in this league. He just doesn't have that household appeal. He's not flashy. He's not in the spotlight. It's what I love about a lot of these Buffalo Bills. Teron Johnson, exactly right. Or exactly the same, in my opinion. You saw that video. You probably saw the video he put out when he re-signed. Just very quick. It's almost like he doesn't even want to be on the camera. What's up, Bills Mafia? So happy to be back here. Love you. And that was the end of it. Grinders, man. Guys who just want to get better, who want to work, and who want to win. Teron Johnson is that. Second team All-Pro last season, deservingly so. Last year was an incredible year for Teron Johnson. And it just felt like Teron Johnson went from a guy that was unknown, we'll see what he's got, to you blinked, and Teron Johnson was one of the most reliable guys on this defense like that. And last year, with all of the injuries the Bills sustained, Teron Johnson was one of the best players on that defense at any given time. And he proved it time and time again. So very well-deserved, 3-year, $31 million. That'll actually help the Buffalo Bills cap situation as well, being able to re-sign and push a little bit of that money down the road. So love the re-signing for the Bills. Teron Johnson will be in Buffalo for at least the next three seasons. So that's one of those moves that you add to Brandon Bean's checklist here early on in free agency. Check off corner, lock that down with Rasul Douglas, right, and Teron Johnson. You get that solidified. Safety, you re-sign, wrap. You bring in Mike Edwards here. Add a little bit of depth at the defensive end position with Casey Tuhill. You add a couple of nice additional pieces to the wide receiver room. We'll see what that winds up looking like post-draft. But you add Mac Hollins. You add Curtis Samuel. I've liked what Brandon Bean has done early on here. At first, it seemed like a big, gigantic blow to the gut when you watched in one afternoon a lot of major pieces for these Bills depart. But I don't know how you feel, and let me know in the comments, but if you're like me, when you've had about a week and a half or so to sit back and think about what the Bills have done here, what Brandon Bean has done here, I've been feeling terrific about it. Sad, of course, losing a lot of these guys that we have come to love over the last six, 7 years here. No question about it. You fall in love with a lot of these guys, and rightfully so. Especially guys like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. When you look back at their career with Buffalo, when they started with the Bills is when the success of the Bills began. So, of course, you're going to be sad when you lose those guys. You're going to be sad losing Tre'Davious White because you saw the potential, and unfortunately two season-ending injuries derail that. First-round draft pick by the Bills, you never want to see them go. And then Mitch Morris, a staple of this offensive line, but snapping the ball for Josh Allen throughout the duration of his career. Sad to see him leave. But when you see these departures, you see what other teams are paying them, guys like Gabe Davis, of course. You see these departures, you see what the Bills still currently have intact, and you see some of these additions. Once we get post-draft, we'll have a better idea of kind of the overall thought process in regard to this team. But as it stands right now, not a whole lot has changed. Not a whole lot has changed. The Bills are still the overwhelming favorite to win the AFC East. And as it stands right now, the Bills have the fourth best odds to win the Super Bowl. Somebody on ESPN, somebody on Fox Sports, they might think the Bills are declining because they had to move on from Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer. They might think they're declining because Stephon Diggs tweets out an ominous tweet. Whenever you have any doubt, go look at the Vegas odds. Go look at the Vegas market. People lie. Sometimes numbers can lie depending on how you skew them to fit your narrative. The Vegas market never lies. Have the Bills lost a bit of their identity? A bit of their leadership? A bit of that locker room? Absolutely. When we're talking about the overall threat they pose to this league, as it stands right now, they haven't dropped an inch. And we still have the draft to come where I think that a lot of the upcoming success of the Bills will hinge on. I think that this is one of the biggest drafts of Brandon Bean's career. And if he hits, in addition to a couple of the last hits we have had with Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, the future could be bright. We just got to see how things pan out. My main man, Jeff King, coming in with a banger of a super chat. The Kinger. What's up, my brother? Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Jeff King says, hey, Bot, listen, I understand everybody's disappointment and natural reaction. Now, right on cue is Jeff King. I understand everybody's disappointment and natural reaction to losing Poyer, Mitch, Hyde, etc. But the one thing none of us can outdo is Father Time. It was time. Bean will put us in the position to be competitive. It's up to the players now. Very, very well said, Jeff. And as always, appreciate the love and support, my main man. But that is very, very well said. And it's essentially echoing what I had just got done saying. You look at those names, it is beyond sad to see him go. And when you saw them all go in one afternoon, that, of course, was the biggest emotional element of it all. I even said at the time, if you were to have staggered out those moves over a week period, like every other day doing it, you still would have had to have dealt with the departures, but you might have been able to swallow that pill a little easier. When you lost all of those guys in the span of about 3 hours, it was a whirlwind. I couldn't keep my head on straight that Wednesday afternoon when Brandon Bean was just going to town. But when you've had time to look back on it and think on it and the reasonings behind it, it all makes sense. And it all had to happen. It's the unfortunate reality of this league. And as Jeff said, Father Time is undefeated. And when you mix that in with injuries, when you mix that in with the cap situation and the money owed and all these different factors that these teams have to deal with, especially teams like the Bills who are towards the top of the league and have a lot of money going a lot of different places, these are the things you have to deal with. The Bills have done an incredible job of retaining a lot of what has made them great. But this was the time. And we're starting to see bit by bit Brandon Bean starting to chip away at being able to add more and more to this team. And like I keep saying, by the time we get to the draft, we'll have a better idea of the identity overall of what these Buffalo Bills will be in 2024. So I wasn't on with you last week with the biggest signing, I think, as far as, wow, is concerned, name is concerned, that was Curtis Samuel. Been banging the table ever since this free agency period started about the wide receiver position. When we watched Gabe Davis depart, we immediately went and looked at the wide receiver locker room for these Bills, and it was a tough look. When you looked at the top, it was Stephon Diggs, it was Khalil Shakir, and then it was a lot of role players. And we all knew that even though Gabe Davis might not have been the greatest receiver for these Bills, he was still a starter on this team and ultimately the wide receiver too for these Buffalo Bills. Whether you loved him or not, whether you thought he was a great receiver or not, it was still a major loss to the locker room because they do not have a ton to replace him with. So, of course, you immediately look to what is out there that can be added. You first go to the draft, and I still think that that's easily top priority in the first or second round, especially with the depth that is available at the wide receiver position in this upcoming draft. But there were some names out there in free agency that weren't necessarily massive. The big one at the time was Calvin Ridley. He signs a crazy deal with the Tennessee Titans, 4 years, over $90 million. Of course, Gabe Davis winds up getting 3 years, $39 million with Jacksonville. The bigger names at the top of that list wound up getting snatched up pretty quick. And then there were other names kind of floating around, and the Bills' first initial move at wide receiver was Mac Hollins. And that was a move that, you know, kind of like a lot of moves that are made by better teams with cap-strapped type situations, you know, it's one of those moves where you're just like, okay, I like it. I could see it, especially for the money. I think what it was, Mac Hollins, a one-year, $3 million deal, something like that. No problem to me. Can definitely see him fitting a role for these Buffalo Bills where it seems like last year, a lot of other guys filled in as well, where Josh Allen was just finding different guys every single week, 6-7 receivers on a weekly basis. Nobody was dominating the stat sheet. Nobody was getting a crazy amount of yards. But if you go back and look, it just felt like the wealth was distributed equally. And that ultimately wound up resulting in W's for these Bills in conjunction with the run game from both James Cook and Josh Allen. But I keep saying I want to see these Bills add another element. I want to see these Bills be able to combine what they did last year and then also combine what we've seen in previous years before last year. What I loved last year was that balance. It's the first time since Josh Allen has taken over that we have truly seen an evenly balanced offense between the passing attack and the running attack. In fact, it was a more run-powered offense last year than it was passing-powered offense. They ran the ball more than they threw it. But it did feel like they lost some of that over-the-top element. They lost a little bit of that spark, that excitement that we have come accustomed to seeing with Josh Allen and this offense. I want to find a way for these Buffalo Bills to be able to get to some sort of middle ground where you still have that balance. You're still dominating time of possession. You're still able to run the ball effectively, but you still have that threat down the top, right, in the pass game that is more resembling to previous years before last. So you lose Gabe Davis and Calvin Ridley was gone. Top names on the wide receiver chart were gone. And then it kind of fell down to where the top names remaining. Curtis Samuel was right there. I think Jerry Jeudy was up there, right? Couple of names. But Curtis Samuel, after the chips fell, was still one of the better names available at the wide receiver position when the dust kind of settled. And what the Bills ended up doing, in my opinion, what the more I continue to look into this move, the more I continue to think on it and just kind of let it sink in, the more I really love it. Curtis Samuel last week signs with these Buffalo Bills on a 3-year, $24 million deal. Gabe Davis signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars, 3 years, $39 million. Now, look, we can compare guys all day long. We love doing that. It's what keeps the media cycle churning, right? But when we're going just based on what could potentially be brought to this team compared to what was on it, for the value you get in saving about $15 million compared to what you would have had to have spent to match the Jacksonville deal that they gave to Gabe Davis. I don't know how you can't be through the moon thrilled with this signing. So Matt Harmon via Yahoo Sports put out this awesome graphic, and it compares the success by route in 2023. It compares those success rates of Curtis Samuel and Gabe Davis. Now, mind you, Curtis Samuel is on one of the most anemic offenses in the league. Sam Howell's throwing him the ball. He doesn't have a job today. Washington was one of those teams in the league that you could bully on any given week. And the Buffalo Bills were certainly one of those teams to bully them. If you remember early in the year, they made Sam Howell look like a youth quarterback. Would they pick him off 3 different times? So when it came to the Washington Commanders, it wasn't like there was a lot of success in the pass game. Yet Curtis Samuel, when you look at the numbers just based on his route running, numbers kind of speak for themselves. So Matt Harmon has this graphic out here. We'll take a look first at Curtis Samuel, and then we'll kind of compare it here to Gabe Davis. And initially, what you can see is you got five red arrows. And now, of course, red is an indication of the lower end of the spectrum, lower end of the percentile ratings when it comes to these specific routes. Green, of course, indicating towards the top. You have 5 different arrows on specific routes for Gabe Davis. You have 1 here for Curtis Samuel. What you have to love the most, I think, about this Curtis Samuel signing in comparison to Gabe Davis is that there's some variety here. It felt as though Gabe Davis was completely boom or bust towards the end. You were either going to get a major game for Gabe Davis where it was going to be like 4 catches, 100 yards, and a TD or 2. Or, as we saw, you were going to get a game with either 0 targets, or if he had a couple targets, 0 catches. There was 0 consistency, to bring it back to the digit of 0. There was absolutely no consistency. And when it came to the type of game that he played, it was mainly a deep threat type guy, and the Bills just were not, it wasn't panning out. Now, there's debate out there as to who's to blame on that, and we all know that there were several plays that Josh Allen would love to have back. We can go back to the Philadelphia Eagles game in overtime where Josh Allen and Gabe Davis were on the wrong page. If just one of them goes a different direction, the Bills win that game in overtime. There were certainly plays left out on the field, and it felt like at times Gabe Davis was a victim of that. But it did feel as though the Bills were limited a bit with their options when it came to having Gabe Davis as their wide receiver too. And you saw that develop over the year. You saw that kind of show its true colors, because towards the latter half of the season, there was very little involvement. But when we look at this success by route for Curtis Samuel here, you're seeing a lot of positivity in a lot of different areas of the field, a lot of different types of routes. I mean, you just go ahead and take a quick glance at this graphic. Now, of course, back to what I was talking about earlier when it comes to PFF and everything, you take everything with a grain of salt, of course. But this is just a good indicator of what you could be bringing in with Curtis Samuel on this offense compared to Gabriel Davis. You're getting green arrows in a ton of different directions here. Not only are you doing pretty well going deep down the field, which is something I think the Bills definitely need to improve on this coming season, but you're getting a lot of positivity in the short game as well, which I found the Bills were doing extremely good job of utilizing last season. Felt like finally last year, towards the midway point of the season, Josh Allen finally figured out that at times his best friend is taking the open receiver, the open guy, the easy route. And I think that led to a lot of success for the Bills, not only in the W column, but it also led to a lot of success in time of possession and overall the style of offense that they wound up executing throughout the year. And it looks like Curtis Samuel is going to be bringing you a lot of those different elements to further build on that success. When you have the addition of Matt Collins into the fold, Khalil Shakir still emerging, another year for Dalton Kincaid where you can assume he's only going to get better. James Cook getting heavily involved in the pass game. Stephon Diggs, who you have to think is going to have a better season this coming year than it ended this past year. I really, really like this signing for what it was. When you factor in the Bills getting Curtis Samuel for 3 years, $24 million, when you factor in that the quarterbacks that Curtis Samuel has played for are what? Sam Howell and who the hell else was the other quarterback? Most recently, Sam Howell. Yeah. Let me just double check here. Yeah, so Sam Howell, and then whoever the hell, who was it, Sam Darnold for the majority of the time in Carolina? This is what you have to be excited about. You see what's on your screen right here, a lot of success on these routes, right? And you go back and look at his numbers, and there's two things that stand out. One, I don't think you can judge him entirely on the numbers that are on the stat sheet, kind of going back to what I was talking about, you know, numbers kind of being deceiving at times. We'll go ahead and take a look here.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The teams that Curtis Samuel has played for. These are teams that, as it stands right now, if you were to talk about throwing the ball, if you were talking about success in the pass game, you're talking about the bottom of the list here in Carolina and Washington. And if we go back to the 1 year that stands out the most, it's 2020, where Curtis Samuel has a career year. He had his career high in receptions. He had his career high in yards. Who just so happened to be the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers in that particular year? Joe Brady. And Curtis Samuel told the media that he was super excited when the opportunity came to come to Buffalo, because having experience with Joe Brady was definitely an influence on him to sign with Buffalo. So I think there's a bunch of reasons here to be excited that might not meet the eye. One, I think you're getting more of a variety when it comes to the type of player out on the field and what he brings as far as an arsenal is concerned at the wide receiver position. I think you're getting a bit more on the table than you were with Gabe Davis. I think you're getting a guy that could potentially be incredibly underrated simply based on the fact that he has been playing with bottom barrel quarterback talent pretty much his entire career. I mean, we got a guy last year that I guess for all intents and purposes, still not all that bad the last couple of seasons in Washington when you talk about how bad that team was. When you go from Sam Darnold and when you go from Sam Howell to Josh Allen, I don't think you can quite quantify how much better you can possibly be. It's going to be a time will tell type situation. I think on a lesser degree, the same could be said for Mac Hollins. Because Mac Hollins has played with some pretty bottom barrel quarterback talent as well. Right? Last year, Desmond Ridder. The year prior, a Derek Carr who the Raiders could not wait to move on from. I think there's something to be said about these signings when you can when you combine them with the idea of playing under Josh Allen. The Cowboys wanted nothing to do with Cole Beasley when it all came down to it, when all was said and done. Didn't want to retain Cole Beasley. He comes into Buffalo and earns an all-pro spot. Second team all-pro with Josh Allen. You bring in an aging John Brown that nobody thought anything of at the time. Really did not anticipate John Brown being a guy that was going to revive his career towards the end. And John Brown came in and had a career year or two with the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen, especially early on when he was pretty much their top target. You look at Stephon Diggs, and everybody can say what they want. They can talk about Stephon Diggs so they're blue in the face. But Josh Allen wouldn't be as good as he is today without him, and Stephon Diggs certainly wouldn't be as good as he is without him either. Stephon Diggs had his best years with Josh Allen. You see it time and time and time again. So, once again, you might look at Curtis Samuel and you might think, I don't know. It's okay. You might look at Matt Collins, but all right. But you got to think about, back to my main man, Pierre. Remember who you have. You have to think about it differently. I mean, you know, even on a slight comparison, when we go to talk about Patrick Mahomes, Juju Smith-Schuster out the door in Pittsburgh, they couldn't wait to move on. He was their wide receiver 1 2 years ago towards the Super Bowl. Wide receiver 1. They move on from Tyreek Hill, and everybody's thinking the Chiefs are going to regress because they no longer have maybe the most explosive player we've ever seen at the position. Juju Smith-Schuster, your addition. I think at the time, we got to be looking at that and saying, This is your recovery plan here? Was it earth-shattering? No. Good enough. Certainly good enough for Juju Smith-Schuster to go and rob the New England Patriots afterwards, right? Got out of them what they needed. And that was a gap fill, a guy that could help lead you to the big one, and that's what happened. Last year, the Chiefs didn't have anybody at wide receiver. Rashee Rice, a rookie, wide receiver 1. Not a great start to the year. As the year progressed, comes on. What do you know? He's their top receiver. They win another Super Bowl. When you are playing with top caliber teams, obviously your success is going to rise. Look at A.J. Brown, for example. A.J. Brown has been in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year ever since he's entered into the Philadelphia Eagles system. And that's with Jalen Hurts, who I think might be more of a he might be more benefited by who's around him than a lot of these other guys. I think if you saw Jalen Hurts in Buffalo or in Kansas City, you might not think he's as great as he seems in Philadelphia. And that's not a knock at Jalen Hurts. I really like Jalen Hurts. I love what I saw from him in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I thought that was one of the best Super Bowl performances in recent memory. Certainly a great quarterback. But we've talked about this on here time and time again. It's just different at the top. It's just different with Josh Allen. It's just different with Patrick Mahomes. I think it's different with Lamar Jackson. That seems to be an argument that plenty of people love to have. But I just think that there's tiers in this league that separate themselves from others. And when you are a wide receiver and you're capable of going into, what is this now? The 8th year for Curtis Samuel. When you're able to have that rejuvenation where your entire year you've pretty much been on bottom feeders, and you're playing with a guy like Josh Allen when you have Stephon Diggs as a tandem? I don't know about you guys. This is exciting stuff to me. I am excited as hell about the Curtis Samuel signing. My boys were ragging on me. They're like, I said, draft a wide receiver in the first round of the draft, and I'm going to start getting my Super Bowl ring fitted. And they're ragging on me. Of course, I was being facetious a bit. But I'm genuinely excited about it. I look back to where I was at the beginning of free agency a couple of weeks ago when Gabe Davis left. And we, if you were on here with me, Sal Capaccio tweeted out a roster, essentially, of the Bills wide receiver room. And we looked at it and we both, you know, you and I collectively stared at the screen and we're just scratching our heads like, you know, season starts tomorrow. I don't know who's threatened by this. And we kept saying the only reason anybody would be threatened at all is because 17's throwing them the ball. I got to be honest with you. A couple of small additions you might, you know, not think are major if you're not a Bills fan might be more under the radar type signings than maybe the Jets going and getting Mike Williams, right? I think I sit here today and look at this wide receiver room, I feel significantly better. I feel significantly better. Now, you can let me know in the comments if I'm being a bit foolish on this or not. But where we were about a week and a half ago to where we are now, I loved the Mac Hollins signing for the money, and I love this Curtis Samuel deal for the money. I know we got a bit of injury history there. I know we got a little bit of unproven type talent there. I think a lot of that has got to do with what he's been surrounded by. And when you factor in that his best year was in 2020 with Joe Brady, and that alone was, in his words, a influence on him coming to Buffalo, I don't know how you couldn't be pretty stoked about it. So to me, not only do I think this was probably the bigger name out of all the names signed for the Bills here early on in the free agency, I think it might be my favorite. Because I get excited about the idea of Josh Allen getting his hands on a guy that has untapped potential. I just think that we could see, I think there's potential that we could see the best of Curtis Samuel in Buffalo. I don't think we quite realize just how much a difference it can be for a single person's career when the guy responsible for your career or your success is the quarterback, right? It's a very unique position, the wide receiver position, because you are pretty much reliant on your quarterback in terms of how your success is going to be dictated. Many other positions, that's not the case. Running back, I mean, yeah, of course, the better offensive line, the better you're going to do. But running back, the ball's in your hands and your hands exclusively. Quarterback, the ball's in your hands. You're making the decision. Defensive side of things, you can make a play whenever an opportunity is allotted to you. The wide receiver position's unique in the sense that you are completely reliant on another individual. And when you look at what Curtis Samuel has had behind him, and you think about what could potentially be there with a guy like Josh Allen, I'm excited. I see a lot of people mention this in the comments, and I haven't even alluded to this yet, and this is certainly something. Look at the rushing stats. This is awfully interesting to me. Look at 2020 under Joe Brady. Career high in carries for Curtis Samuel at 41 carries for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. 41 carries for a wide receiver. That is not insignificant. So there could be a whole new wrinkle being added here with Joe Brady and Curtis Samuel that we do not currently have on this offense. So I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited. And I think the cherry on top, too, is when you look at the departure of Gabe Davis and the addition of Curtis Samuel. You get Curtis Samuel for 3 years, $24 million. And Gabe Davis signed for 3 years, $39 million. Much more cap friendly for the Bills. And we go back and look at this. Once again, grain of salt, it's just one example. But when we're talking about a variety of different routes being ran here, just based on overall success, it favors Curtis Samuel in nearly every single category. Here's a quick recap on what Matt Harmon had to say about these graphics. He said, Davis brings value as a vertical X receiver who can burn downfield and uncover well on scramble drills. However, his inconsistency as a separator makes him a tricky bet as a high-volume starter. Pretty much back to what I was just saying. A lot of inconsistency for Gabe Davis. One week, wow, who the hell is that guy? The other week, where the hell is Gabe Davis? You go to his little recap here on Curtis Samuel. Samuel is a position versatile wide receiver who can win in multiple roles and separate. Perfect fit for what the Bills have been missing. I got to tell you, I think there's a lot of reason to be excited. And if you combine that with an addition in the draft as well, potentially at the top, potentially the Bills go wide receiver in the first round or the second round. All of a sudden, you go from a wide receiver room you got a lot of questions about to feeling pretty good about where the Bills are at. We'll see what happens in the draft. I will say, as it stands right now, I feel a lot better than I did last week, 2 weeks ago. We'll see what they do in the draft. A lot of talent at the wide receiver position. If the Bills add another starter towards the top of that draft, could be a lot to be excited about. And this goes back to what I was saying about, losing a lot of these core pieces of our Buffalo Bills. Definitely sad, but the silver lining within that, I think there's excitement to be had here when you're watching this new page be turned and what's being written on that page. I'm starting to get excited. Now, this is, of course, just the offseason kind of talking. You're, of course, going to try to find a reason to be excited about all the moves these guys make. But I don't just get blindly excited because the Bills sign a guy. This is a move that genuinely has me excited. And when I look at all the other little things that Brandon Bean has done throughout the offseason here, including the exceptional job in restructuring guys and re-signing guys, I like the direction the Bills are heading because they're in a very tough, they were in a tough position. When you are in as tough a position as the Bills are in, I feel like it might not get much better than what Brandon Bean has been able to do early on here. It was the reality of the situation. I think Brandon Bean early on here has done a really good job of chipping away at the losses and retaining guys that they have felt are not only pivotal to this team, but are pivotal to the team for the significant and near or and long-term future. So, Curtis Samuel, a Buffalo Bill, and a signing that I am extremely excited about. Another signing the Bills made, and I don't know a whole lot about Casey Tuhill, but this is another signing that the Bills made actually just yesterday. And Casey Tuhill, a defensive end who was with the Washington Commanders, just signed with the Bills yesterday. That is certainly a depth addition to the defensive line for these Bills. And we knew that the Bills were going to want to target in on depth at that position. That was going to be a priority in this upcoming draft. They target in on that a little bit here in free agency, signing Tuhill to a one-year contract. This is via Buffalo Rumblings here. And he is 27 years of age. When you look at the overall body of work, nothing crazy, right? 14 of 57 games played, 80 tackles, 20 quarterback hits. But this is more of a depth piece than anything else. And once again, Brandon Bean knows what the team needs currently. Pre-draft, he's taking care of what he can take care of based on the finances available and what is also available out there in free agency. So, one of those moves that you look at and you're just like, okay, But, you know, then again, a move that ultimately, I think, was one that the Bills certainly had at the top of their priority list and are kind of chipping away at doing so early in free agency before they hit the draft. One more thing I saw earlier, by the way, just kind of a once again, not everything's apples to apples. When you're comparing guys and when you're bringing up numbers, you can pretty much do whatever you want. But this is pretty much a black and white representation of Gabriel Davis and Curtis Samuel's career here. And of course, you're going to have a lot more on the side of Curtis Samuel because he's played nearly 30 more games than Gabe Davis. But this is what you're getting. The rushing stats certainly are standing out to me more than I initially anticipated. I mean, 121 carries for 715 yards in his career as a wide receiver. Definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on. 7 touchdowns as well on the ground. I mean, this is certainly something we're going to have to keep an eye on going into the year. Just an added element. Not even mentioning the fact that I just think you're getting more when it comes to the wide receiver position itself. So, you know, tough to compare the numbers here when you have almost 30 more games than Gabriel Davis is heading into his second contract. But this is just kind of a black and white comparison as to what you're kind of getting from Curtis Samuel, what he's had under his belt, his body of work. But I just think the sky could potentially be the limit when you're talking about adding him with Josh Allen. And I also think that if they are able to get a stud in this draft, or at least a starter, interchangeable starter at the wide receiver position in the first round or second round. I mean, he might not come into the league and immediately be Ja'Marr Chase. But if they can get a guy that is going to be another threat, it only adds more opportunity for a guy like Curtis Samuel or Matt Collins, and then opens things up more for Stephon Diggs. We'll touch on Stephon Diggs here in a second, just because that it has resurfaced again, and I just want to give my quick thoughts on what the latest is on Stephon Diggs, because for some reason that just seems to be it is the gravy train in the mainstream media. I mean, it really is like it must be ratings heaven. I don't even know how else to describe it. So we'll talk about that here in a second, but I do want to mention that tomorrow kickstarts the NCAA tournament. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when football is out of commission, when it's not on, there is a void that is left massively open. But every year, this 2-week period of March Madness college basketball, it helps fill that void just a little bit. It's probably my favorite non-football season sporting event. And we're getting into a fun time of year where you're really missing football, and then all of a sudden, you get March Madness, you get the NHL playoffs, you get the NBA playoffs. And if you're a baseball guy, that kicked off today in South Korea in opening day is a week from tomorrow. But I think the most exciting element exciting offering in the sports world as it stands right now is, of course, March Madness. So tomorrow, things kick off at around noon. And I'm going to be hanging, so I thought it would be fun tomorrow if you guys are around, if you're chilling, if you're at work, if you're doing whatever and want to join in on a watch party. Tomorrow and potentially Friday, not 100% certain on what the deal is going to be on Friday, but I know for a fact tomorrow I'm going to be hosting a first-round NCAA March Madness tournament watch party. And I'd love to have you all come on in and join. We'll sit back and we'll watch the madness unfold. We'll sit back and watch the first half of the games kick off. I believe there's 16 games on tomorrow. So we're going to come on in here on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel. We're going to watch some basketball, and then we'll just chat Buffalo Bills. We'll chat football. We'll chat whatever you want while we watch. Speaking of which, for tomorrow, for that watch party, and in general, I'm doing this thing. I know I got my brackets filled out and everything. Jeff King saying, fill out those brackets. Definitely got to fill out those brackets. What I'm doing this new strategy, courtesy of my friends over at BetUS. What I'm doing, and if you want to join in with me, feel free. If you join with me tomorrow on the watch party, going to be a lot of fun. Here's the strategy I'm doing, and you can get in and on it early with BetUS. By the way, link in the description below. 125% sign up bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,500 with the promo code JOIN125. Here's my strategy, and you can follow along. I'm going to be doing this all day tomorrow on the watch party and also tonight for the final two games of the first four. I am betting every single underdog of the entire tournament. So there's 64 teams. How many games is that? What, we got, what, 32 games, 16 games, 8 games. So I don't know. I'm not a mathematician, but we're talking like 60 games or so. I'm betting the underdog in every single game. And I'm going to kick it off tonight right here on BetUS. So the underdog for the first four game, kicking off in just about an hour, or tipping off in about an hour here, Grambling versus Montana State. Those are two 16 seeds duking it out to try and get the right to play in the first round. And Boise State versus Colorado is the game after that. Those are two 10 seeds duking it out to try to get into the first round as well. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing that live tomorrow on the watch party as well. I'm going to be betting on every single underdog throughout the entire tournament. I just placed my two bets here on BetUS on Grambling and Boise State. I'm trying to see what my strategy is going to be. I'm trying to see what the result is going to be at the end of this. I'm kind of doing like a science experiment. I saw some guy last year on Twitter doing this, and I thought it was genius. Because not only does it give you an extra rooting interest, but it's also a rooting interest that everybody wants in the tournament. You always want to be pulling for the underdog. And I think the last couple of years, it's paid out pretty damn well. The guy I saw on Twitter, he's done it the last 2 years, and I think he placed a $100 bet on every single underdog, and he wound up coming up in the green like plus 2,000 each year. So fun stuff. I'm joining in on it. You can do so too. Once again, link in the description below on BetUS, and you can hop in. But tomorrow afternoon, we're going to kick it off right around 12:30 when the first game tips off. And we're going to be doing a NCAA March Madness watch party, and we'll go for as long as we want to. There's games on all day. I believe there's 16 games on tomorrow. And that'll be fun. A little off-season, non-football get-together. We'll chat. We'll talk about whatever in the comment section. We'll talk about Bills, the NFL, and we'll watch some hoops. All right. So let's move over to what I was talking about a little bit ago, and that is Stephon Diggs, who apparently, you know, anytime his name is mentioned, or anytime he tweets, it is like stop the presses, stop what you're doing, breaking news. I don't understand it. His Twitter, I mean, ESPN has essentially made Stephon Diggs' Twitter what LeBron James' Twitter has been for the last 10 years. I mean, anytime LeBron James tweets, I get an update on my phone. You know, like I feel like I've gotten updates sometimes where it's like LeBron James goes and sees Oppenheimer, loved it via whoever, ESPN. LeBron James weighs in on MVP winner Lamar Jackson. It's like, that's great. Like, why am I getting a notification about it? Why is this news? And then you stop and you realize it's news because it just, for some reason, it gets clicks, it gets eyeballs. And they have now made, this isn't anything new. This has been going on for about a year and a half now. They have turned Stephon Diggs into essentially a ratings factory. I don't understand it. There's no way that anybody involved can genuinely think the things that they feel half the time. Anytime you turn on the TV when Stephon Diggs tweets, it's a topic. It was a topic on, I believe, First Take earlier in the week. I don't watch but I saw some screenshots on Twitter and whatnot. Legitimate debates. Does Stephon Diggs want to be in Buffalo? Does Stephon Diggs want to leave Buffalo? And you're looking at what it's based on. And it's just like, are we really doing this again? Is everybody not conditioned at this point to understand that for whatever reason, if you are a wide receiver, it's almost like you're contractually obligated to tweet ominous tweets in the offseason? It feels like every single one of these guys does this. No matter what the contract situation is, no matter how happy they are. Let me tell you this right off the bat. There were active debates being had this week about Stephon Diggs' future in Buffalo. $18 million of his salary this past weekend just became guaranteed. Is this like not accessible information for everybody else? If I can find it in 2 seconds, certainly the powers that be at the worldwide leader can. $18 million became guaranteed of Stephon Diggs' contract this past weekend, meaning if the Bills, oh, hey, we saw your tweet that said, quote, ready for whatever, you're out of here, pal. Well, they'd have to eat $18 million because of a tweet that could mean literally whatever. And speaking of like whatever, to this, I have to say, whatever. Who cares? Everybody does this. Everybody does this. Now, when Stephon Diggs gets asked about this time and time again, and he kind of seems like he's annoyed by it, and he kind of seems like he's sick and tired of being questioned about it, and he kind of seems like he's insinuating that he has answered these questions time and time again, there's part of me that does get frustrated with the fact that Stephon does feed into it. I feel like he has got to be well aware that when you tweet ready for whatever, that ESPN's going to make it the A block of every show. Do I think that that's deserving? No. But there's no way he's not aware of it. So there's part of me that's at the point where I'm like, why, if you're so frustrated and sick and tired of it, why do you keep dumping, even if it's just like a eyedropper's worth of fuel on the fire, why drop anything at all? Stephon Diggs could have meant anything about, you know, when he said this. But at the end of the day, he's a smart guy. He's got to be well aware that you know, Skip and Stephen A. are going to spend 10 minutes talking about him on morning television. Wasn't the only thing. I mean, if you just go through his Twitter, it's just like the most random stuff. With love. Question real quick. I mean, what does that even mean? It's Twitter. It's Twitter. No, Matt, I'm not feeding into it right now. I'm talking about the people that are feeding into it. Every time this comes on, I like to come and address the fact that there's nothing to see here, because every time this happens, you go online and everybody's freaking out about it. And there's no reason to freak out about it. None. $18 million this past weekend became guaranteed on Stephon Diggs' contract. If you don't think he's going to be a Buffalo Bill this coming year, I don't know what to tell you. Yet you go online after this and everybody's having a field day with it. Right? And I don't get it, because like you're saying, Matt, half the players are like this in every locker room. Exactly. So why is it always Stephon Diggs that's pointed out? And why does everybody continuously fall for it time and time again? Why does everybody continuously fall for the, oh, he doesn't want to be here, this and that? This was the last one he said, right? In case there's some confusion, Trainwreck Sports tweeted out this laundry list of different things that Stephon Diggs has done since he's been a Buffalo Bill, right? Tied for first in games played, fourth in receiving yards, first in receptions, 19th targets per game, fourth in receiving TDs. And he's like, in case there's some confusion. I don't think there was any confusion at all. Right? But someone mentioned, talk about that drop in the playoffs when you was wide open, right? And he goes, a play I wish I had back 100% accountable for, no excuses, but out here acting like I'm not like that for real is pure delusion. See, I agree. Like, it seems as of late, I will say, it does feel like Stephon Diggs has been getting more heat than usual because of that one drop. Yeah, it was a shit drop. Shit play that we love to have back, including him, right? Absolutely. But it does feel like as of late, he has been getting scrutinized far more than usual because of that one play. And then because if you look at the end of the season, the numbers weren't all that great. But it seems like the core of the subject constantly comes back to his freaking Twitter feed, right? There's two things on it. Once again, it's the same situation every time. It's just a revolving door. It's the same thing every time. There's nothing to see here. $18 million became guaranteed this past week, and he's not going anywhere. All of these guys do this. This is nothing new. And the only reason it feels like it's even bigger in Buffalo is because he's our guy. He's the star of the team. And that's why it feels like it's bigger than everybody else. Why everybody continues to beat it like a dead horse on TV is because people are talking about it. People are tweeting about it and it gets ratings. It's the only reason it's on there. So don't buy into the fact that when people are debating about Stephon Diggs being a Bill or not, that there's actually a question to be had there because there isn't, right? But the one final thing I'll say is it's tough to be sympathetic with him like this past media cycle during the Super Bowl, when he seems like he has had enough of being questioned about this, when he'll continuously throw a little bit of this here and a little bit of this there. If he truly didn't love it, or if he truly wanted it done, tweets like ready for whatever wouldn't be tweeted. So to me, it's a two-way street. I don't know what's to be gained from tweeting out something like that, but I would just think that if somebody's in his corner, right, and they genuinely think that they do not want this to be a burden on them, this constant conversation about his status in Buffalo and his status as a player in the NFL and constantly questioning him as an athlete and where he stands on a variety of different things, I would stop being so ominous on Twitter. That's how I see it. But at the end of the day, long story short, it's like every other time this has happened. It's a flash in the pan. There's a tweet. It's a story for some stupid reason. The next day, you don't hear about it again until the next tweet. But at the end of the day, it's just a whole lot of nothing. So I personally wish it would just, there wouldn't be any more additions to the Twitter feed that are like that, where you can kind of question it all of it. But then again, you could say that about so many guys. So many guys. And like Richie's saying, you know, he's smart. At this point, he knows the media loses their mind. It's hilarious. Exactly. There might be part of it where, and this is the one thing I've always kind of juggled. I'm not an athlete with millions of followers who at the touch of a button can completely change the news cycle. I've always sat back and wondered how much of that simply has to do with that. How much of the desire to just tweet ready for whatever has to do with the fact that, you know, if you tweet that, you're going to get Stephen A talking about you the next day. Maybe they find it funny. Maybe I'd find it funny too if I was in that position. I don't know. I just do struggle with the fact that when he is questioned about these things that he's kind of opened himself up to being questioned about, it seems like he has a lot of disdain for that. I don't think he can have it both ways. That's all. All right. Hour 15 in the books, wrapped up a couple of news stories for these Buffalo Bills, including the latest at One Bills Drive, the Bills signing safety Mike Edwards this afternoon from the Kansas City Chiefs, a much-needed addition to the safety room. Oh, by the way, I think I missed the super chat. One quick second before we wrap up shop here. I think I missed another one from my main man, the Kinger. Jeff King coming in again on a Wednesday, firing him hot today, Jay King. Buddy, here's my point with Stephon. He can bring all this to an end. So I have to question his insecurities about being relevant in the public eye. Again, he can bring all of the speculation to an end, but it needs to come from his mouth. I agree partially. I think that he could put this to an end. Like I just said, he could put this to an end if he didn't tweet stuff like ready for whatever. Absolutely. I don't know if he's insecure about the way he's viewed in the public eye. I will say, I feel like he's been getting a lot of unwarranted flack for that drop. It does feel like a lot of people are immediately just going to that drop when talking about Stephon Diggs, not literally anything else that he's done for these Buffalo Bills, which has been more or less extraordinary. Been towards the top of the league in the variety of different categories since he's entered in with the Bills. Yeah, it was a bad drop. It was a bad play. Bills still had a chance to win the game at the end besides that drop and still couldn't do it, right? I just think the year didn't end great for him production-wise. You add that drop into the mix, right? You add that loss, of course, into the mix. Yet again, another divisional exit. Emotions are high. And we've seen with a lot of athletes, they handle it different ways, and a lot of them do stuff like this. A lot of them do. So I agree with you. He could put it to an end. He never seems to completely put the nail in the coffin on it. But at this point, I just guess it is what it is. Every time this happens, though, I just like to reference that nothing's going to come of it. Because you got people in here trying to tell me that, you know, it's not worth talking about. The subject matter itself is not worth talking about. Yet people are constantly talking about it. That's why I bring it up, because I feel like every time this happens, I have to come on and just say my part. And my part is stop going online and, bringing the pitchforks out because you're worried about Stephon Diggs leaving. It's not going to happen. It's endless. It's beyond infuriating. What's more frustrating than it being talked about on TV, and what's more frustrating than the tweets itself that could open up this discussion, is going online and seeing a barrage of people constantly falling for it. Falling for everyone on TV saying, oh, he doesn't want to be there, this and that. And at the end of the day, even if he didn't want to be there, I mean, do you know the mountains that would have to be moved for Stephon Diggs to not be a Bill this year, especially after this past weekend with the $18 million becoming guaranteed? It ain't happening. All right. Thanks again, Jeff King, and thanks to everybody else who joined in Wednesday afternoon smoke break edition. Mike Edwards, a Buffalo Bill, and we talked about a variety of other recent updates with these Bills as well. A very efficient start to the offseason, I'd say, for Brandon Bean. We all know he is prone to being quite efficient, and I think that with a lot of major moves made, he has done a real solid job since then getting these Bills down to where they need to be as far as the cap situation is concerned, and also starting to build towards the future, getting this team ready for a productive 2024. Like I said earlier, tomorrow I will be live starting at around 12:30. We're going to do a March Madness watch party. So make sure to come in and join me at around 12:30 tomorrow. We'll kick back and watch a day's worth of hoops. We'll talk ball and whatever else you feel like talking about here in the comment section. Once again, you want to tell my bets for tomorrow, I'm betting every single underdog in the tournament. BetUS, link in the description below, 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, up to $2,500 with the promo code JOIN125. Hop in on that. Come tell my bets tomorrow and watch some hoops with me. Should be a lot of fun. Until then, have a great rest of your night, folks. I will see you tomorrow afternoon. And until then, go Bills.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.